Program is paid for by Little John Financial Services. The opinions and views expressed may not reflect those of Brook Communications, its affiliates, or its employees.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now presented by Little John Financial Services. It's David Little John with True Wealth on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All right, I am getting to this show as quickly as possible today on this, the greatest Tuesday of Halloween. Welcome to the True Wealth Show. I'm your host, Dave Littlejohn. Joining me in studio today
is your favorite attorney, Derek Simmons.
Derek, thanks for coming. Now, we planned this out like a year out, actually 5 years out, if I think about it, because probably for the next 4 years, we are going to try to do the same thing.
I think it's a great idea.
Yep. So, right, help out our listeners. Why did you want to be here today?
Yes. Ordinarily, I avoid Dave like the plague, but here was an opportunity. I'm going to tell you the story of St. James Day.
Okay. Now, hey, wait a second. I thought today was St. Patrick's Day.
Yes, St. Patrick, fun guy. But no, St. James is who we're talking about. James Naismith, the inventor of basketball.
This, by the way, the lore has grown and grown over the years. Derek has sucked me into this. I participate in this whenever possible, although this year is a weird one just because of the way like the universe lined up. But nevertheless, first thing, can we explain when is St. James Day?
Is Friday. It's the first Friday of the NCAA tournament.
Why Friday?
Well, it's the first Friday of the NCAA tournament, and I can hear you asking, why is it not Thursday and Friday, which would be the round of 64 for the NCAA tournament? And that is an excellent question. And the answer is, my wife will only let me get away with the Friday. Because I'm going to take the day off and watch basketball.
Yeah.
But you know what? I've gotten ahead of myself, Dave. You need to hear the beginning of the myth.
I need to. Please re-regale me.
We have
with
a
this.
Whole hour. Here.
We do. Oh, we've got, believe it or not, this is all going to tie into True Wealth by the time it's all said and done. But, and also, I'm going to set the table just for all of you that have been listening over the years, and some of you really haven't. Some of you, you're new to this and you don't get it. So, Derek and I have been friends for, we can now say, decades, and it's cool.
True.
Right? So, we've known each other for a while. Now, my alma mater is University of North Carolina, which is not terrible, except for the part where whenever we play Derek's alma mater,
Kansas,
then I think the lifetime record that Kansas is ahead right now, you know, over the course of our friendship. So anyway, two traditional powerhouse basketball schools. And so it's a lot of fun just to be able to share this with you. So we have a little bit of the camaraderie through just enjoying the tournament, enjoying that backdrop. But there is way more to it because I think St. James Day predated our friendship. It's been around.
It did. So I'm actually going to start at the beginning, which was my freshman year at the University of Kansas.
So the earth cooled and then
yes,
it was
the
dinosaurs.
Earth cooled, et cetera, et cetera. My freshman year at the University of Kansas was 1987-88. This is well known because Kansas was a sixth seed in the NCAA tournament and won the whole thing. It upset somebody second, third, fourth, all the way to the national championship where it beat Oklahoma, 83-79, but who's counting? Anyway, and the brainwashing was very, very thorough. So I was indoctrinated to basketball. And Kansas went to the Final Four a couple more times while I was there. And then I thought it was just going to happen all the time. And it turns out it does not. So we won again in 2008 and 2022, beating the snot out of North Carolina a couple of times in there, coming from enormous deficits back.
Oh,
and just,
that one.
Just humiliating the Tar Heels.
One time!
But anyway,
come on!
Anyway.
One time!
But St. James Day, and you can look this up on the web, it's www.stjamesday.com, and that's St. James Day. It's got an entertaining backstory. And what happened was I was clerking at the Oregon Court of Appeals, and my co-clerk, a guy named Paul Smith, and I were talking about the tournament coming up. And we were wondering how much work we were going to get done that day because there are going to be basketball games on somewhere, and even then you could stream some stuff on your computer. And so it was 2001 was the first tournament,
which is so just for record keeping here, I moved to Douglas County in 2002, and that was immediately met Derek at that point. So St. James Day does technically, it was prior to our friendship.
That makes this the 25th annual St. James Day.
Right.
All right. So anyway.
So I know, what kind of anniversary gift do we get for St. James Day? It's
diamond encrusted something.
We'll come back
to that.
I feel like a ring is appropriate.
I think maybe a national championship ring would be delightful.
Right. Could Justin's make a St. James Day ring? I feel like they've got it for everything else.
So anyway, Paul and I watched, we took the day off with the blessing of the judge that we worked for, and we stayed at my house and we watched basketball all day long. And we cursed our brackets because we filled out brackets, of course, in advance, as one does for the tournament. And I filled out three this year. Kansas wins. Anyway, you curse your brackets as the day goes on, and you cross out the teams that are eliminated from future rounds, and you grill kielbasa sausage for lunch.
Mm-hmm.
People occasionally ask me, why kielbasa?
I believe it was on sale.
No. It's the third food on the list. You know, Christmas has Easter.
Christmas has Easter. Help me out here.
Christmas has ham.
Okay.
Thanksgiving has turkey.
Turkey.
This is kielbasa.
Okay. I can go
it's
with that.
It's the third one on the list. What are you going to do? It's a holy food.
Yeah. It makes sense in your own way.
It does. But that's all there is to it is don't pretend to work and instead watch basketball. Actually take the day off and watch basketball.
It is a lot of fun to do, by the way. I mean, if you get a group of folks, and the interesting thing about the tournament, the format, there is some downtime in there. You know, there's several games, and you look for the games that are good. Some of them aren't, right? Some of them are blowouts where you go, well, this isn't terribly interesting.
But you can flip because there are so many on at the same time.
It's true. You really can find a lot. But then there's that lull for some reason right around lunchtime where that's when you can grill the kielbasa.
Exactly.
Because there's no game starting in between.
I'm pretty sure they planned that around our St. James Day celebration.
You know, it's just a matter of time. If we get the word out, so everybody listening, you're going to help us with this, right? You got to go to stjamesday.com. What you really should do is start posting this on your social media. So throw it on your X feed or put it on your Facebook post, Instagram it, whatever. But what we should do is start a movement. And the real test would be one day if we can see Derek actually being interviewed by some of the announcers about how St. James Day came to pass.
You mean a real radio host?
Well, maybe one that's not just statewide, right?
Oh, yeah, okay.
Not a regional local here, but we'll get you. I could just see the ESPN interview now, which I can also nearly guarantee you that Derek will be wearing some vintage Kansas gear if that were to take
Absolutely.
Place.
Absolutely. That's mostly what I wear.
So,
Simmons Law and Kansas is all I've got in my wardrobe.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's good to know what you're about. So anyway, it's super fun. And if you're wondering to yourselves, like, could we talk for the entire show about this? Oh, we could.
We could. I brought statistics. I brought lineups. I'm ready to, you know, just go bananas.
Yeah, well, and of course, you follow your school pretty closely. I ended up with, there's a certain amount of hilarity in the world, right? I have three daughters, none of whom are terribly interested in basketball. They'll watch it, but they're kind of like, eh, you know. And so you get on the other side of the world, and I have to give you credit. You took the cult and you drafted your family in.
I was aided by the fact that my beloved wife also went to Kansas.
Yes.
And was there for a couple of Final Fours.
And so I did not have the same pathway that you did.
Right.
Now, I will say there have been some neat experiences in my world. My wife's pretty supportive of the fact that, I mean, like, she went to Lewis and Clark, so she didn't have the same kind of experience. Right. I never shared this with you before, by the way. I had a really similar experience. So I dropped into Carolina 95, 96 was my freshman year. and the 94-95 season was their championship run, I believe, or at least Final Four. I mean, it had been like a big deal. And so I walk into the school going like, of course, everybody wins championships, right? It's great. We did have like a Final Four and an Elite Eight appearance, I believe, during my tenure there. And we had a couple of really just amazing games against Duke that resulted in Carolina wins, which everybody that, if you ever heard the rivalry, it is that real. The Duke as a campus is only about 30 miles away. You just, yes, and everybody came to Chapel Hill, where Carolina is, because Durham is not a really a town that's going to accommodate a lot of people, and it's just not kind of the college party atmosphere to celebrate. So everybody shows up on Franklin Street in Chapel Hill, and it was pandemonium. Things that shouldn't happen, because college students can be idiots, right?
They really are good at
bonfires, flipping cars over. You're like, why are we rioting? It's like, well, no, it's a happy riot. Like, what's a happy riot? So just crazy stuff.
Well, I join in your hatred of Duke.
Yeah. And it's funny, as I've gotten older, now it's ceremonial hatred. Oh, I actually have met some people from Duke where I'm like, I mean, I can tolerate you.
Yeah, you seem to have survived that fairly well.
Anyway, it's great fun, but the fun thing about this to me is, now how are we going to sort of make this about investing, right?
Well,
how are we
going
to make this about true wealth?
I have two parts.
Okay.
But first, we probably want to take a break.
Yes, I think we do. We're going to take a break. When we come back, here's what I'm going to tell you. Sports betting and how it ties in to investing, not what you think, right? And statistics and all that other fun stuff too, but we got to grab a break first. Stick around. I'm Dave Littlejohn.
And Derek Simmons.
And you got True Wealth on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All right, gang, it sounds like we are back, so we're going to be back. Welcome back to the True Wealth Show. Dave Littlejohn in studio with
Derek Simmons.
Now, remember, if you are just catching us, it's not too late to figure out all of the glory. We're trying to start a movement here. So I'm going to remind you to go check out the podcast. You can go to littlejohnfs.com under the Knowledge Center, and you can get connected with the last segment. But the key takeaway is St. James Day.
National holiday.
This Friday. Okay. If you need to know more about this, let me rephrase that. Since you need to know more about this, you should go visit stjamesday.com. And I'm encouraging anybody listening to this show or this podcast to try to crash the website first. That would be awesome. By not hack it, like crash it, because everybody visits at once. But to post the address, go to social media and say, hey, I just heard about this, and we're going to start a movement. So we're going to try to push it out there.
Look, I think you could probably tell me labor statistics showing that the ability of the American workforce to get stuff done is dramatically affected by the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, the fact that there is a boss button on the brackets where you're live streaming so that you can, it will like flip to what looks like
a spreadsheet,
Or something. That tells you a lot right there.
Yeah, we're all phoning it in because we want to be watching the tournament. That's what we should be doing on Friday.
Agreed. Here's the other real element at this, that a lot of, I don't have the research study to cite, but I'm tempted to go find it at some point. There is evidence suggesting that people that try to put in 50 to 70 hours in a work week actually don't produce any more than somebody putting 40 hours in, because the additional time by the time you're that fried isn't actually producing more output. You're just spinning your wheels. So one would argue, in a sense, what if you were more productive, but St. James Day was that restorative mental health time that
Absolutely.
You needed?
It's what you need. So, but you know, you posed a question about the two things that have to do with true wealth in the St. James Day context. So I want to give you the first one because I know that otherwise you would just wonder what the hell I was talking about.
I might.
So the first one is true wealth is experiential. It's not stuff. It's not money. It's for money's sake. It's the ability to do something that's fun.
Super accurate.
With people that you enjoy being with.
Yes.
And that is one of my favorite things about St. James Day. It's never fun by yourself. It's fun with people.
Exactly. This we talk about true wealth being the relationships you form, the memories that you build, because those are really the only things. If you think about it, that someday we all punch out. If there is another side to this, the only thing going with you would be the memories that you've made and then the potential to reconnect somewhere else with those relationships.
Yeah.
And so that's a big deal. Okay. I mean, and to me, when you talk about risk and reward, it's a really good trade. If I'm like, well, I want to invest in relationships and memories, and those come with experiences, right?
It's true.
You build those experiences together. And so the rest of it is all, it's, I don't want to call it noise. It matters, right? Your money matters because it's this store of value, and it's this way to trade your time or to trade resources so that you can go create those experiences.
Exactly. I can't take Friday off and screw around watching basketball if I haven't been efficient with my time and resources before that.
Correct. And so it is relevant in that very, I guess, sort of high level, I don't know what to call it, but it's sort of a warm and fuzzy version of this is ultimately, in fact, I had a conversation. So Emma's not, she's in studio with us, but she's not on the microphone, so she's not on camera, right? We were talking about this earlier. And
we'll take off her gag later if it turns out to be a good idea.
But I made a comment that she's like, I won't repeat that. I'm like, oh, I'll say it on air, which is that retirement's overrated. And she's like, you can't say that. You're a retirement guy. I'm like, oh, we're not defining retirement the way I think we need to. Retirement, this idea that you're going to check out from something, that's what retirement's like. Oh, we're gonna pull you out of this.
I think of that slightly differently, and probably this is what you're thinking. It's not checking out. It's the ability to check out if you want
to. Well, that's the difference, right? If you think about Michael Jordan for a minute, you listen to interviews, and he wishes that he could still play basketball. The competitive drive and the things that he loved about the game haven't gone away, but his body tells him now, if you go try to do this, things will break, and it will really kind of implode your quality of life. So that kind of retirement was, in a sense, forced upon him by biology. So that's a retirement that it takes you away from something
I opted not to play professional basketball because I knew eventually my body would break down.
That was the only wise decision, right? So the idea, I like to redefine retirement. You've already kind of said it in another way.
I sucked the wind out of it.
No. I just, you kind of hit it. The way I define it is you work because you want to, not because you have to. That means developing financial independence. You employ your money so that it's capable of doing the work for you so that now it's not to get you out of work. Some people, it's like, I just got to stop working. I go, you're doing the wrong kind of work. Right. If your whole goal was to get out of that as quickly as possible, then something else you think is significantly better. I'm like, well, maybe we need to find you work that is more fulfilling. So I gotta tell you, I'm not in any hurry to run away from what I do. I really like what I do. I like it even more if I don't have to do it.
That's right. That's the key.
So it just feels different when you want to do something, right? I tell people this all the time. You can ask me to do something, and man, I will go out of my way. You tell me to do something, and I will dig in and resist. It's weird.
And you do that even if it's you telling you to do it.
It's true, right? You need to do those push-ups. I don't want to do the push-ups. All right. True wealth and how this whole St. James Day thing, though, we have fun memories. This is a year where, because I'm going to be traveling, I'm not able to actually host St. James Day, but we oftentimes host it at our office.
It's been a lot of fun at your office.
And
big screen.
We have a new office environment, and if all goes according to what we are trying and planning to do, we should have a pretty awesome place to have St. James Day next year. But this year is going to be, you know, not as remarkable. So
now, Dave, just to be clear, people can celebrate this in the privacy of their own homes.
They can certainly do that.
But if you know, your clients could certainly come and partake at Little John, not this year, but next year.
Right. Next year.
When it's ready.
That's true. And, you know, we're pretty generous with the definition of client. It's like client, friends of clients. If you're within, you know, listening distance of the show and you're like, you know what? I like the show. I thought I'd come by and say, hey, yeah, we'd probably just be like, well, come on over. Our version is pretty simple. We usually do have kielbasa because there's a tradition there.
It's a rule.
But we also have a fair amount of pizza because pretty easy to get that there. So, you know, which is like the fifth food group on the list. But
it's right up there for sure.
The joke that's not maybe a joke, I feel like we need to start making like peach pie or something.
Ah, right. In honor of the peach baskets.
Yes. If you know the history.
Okay. Hey, wait. I abandoned in the middle of the story there, James Naismith.
You did.
He's a Canadian guy. He invented basketball. He then came to the University of Kansas, where he was Kansas's first basketball coach.
Yeah.
And he, also Kansas's only losing basketball coach.
Yeah, but if you've invented basketball, did you really lose?
It's hard to say. Really good point. I can't object to that.
But first coach, it's also this one was an interesting one too. I think I read that he was the phys ed teacher and pastor.
Ah.
So now that one I may have to go do some deeper research on, because it could be that when you are doing research around St. James Day, you get a snarky AI agent that says, oh, yeah, pastor, why not? I'm like, wait a second here. Can you validate that? It's like, oh, I'm sorry, what time is it? I got to go. Like, you get weird hallucinations, but it would be hilarious.
But yes, he used a peach basket when he first invented basketball.
Yes.
And they had to stop and climb up and get the ball. And then some smart guy took the bottom out of the basket. That was helpful.
It was.
But it still didn't make the swishing noise, so then they had to change to an actual net.
Yes, the game was more and more refined, but you are picking up what I'm throwing down here when I was like, well, the peach pie theme would be kind of just a nod to the fact that it was originally peach baskets that they used for the original
baskets. I think it's got legs, Dave. I think we should do it.
Yeah. Well, there you go. So now you all have heard it. We're going to now we just have to, you know, amend the menu on the website, and peach sales will go much, much higher, at which point I feel like we're going to. I don't know how to get royalties for that, but we're going to work with it.
Ordained Presbyterian minister.
He really was?
Oh, there you go.
Oh, that's the best. So there you go. So St. James Day, and he was, in fact, a minister and the inventor of the game of basketball, the first coach for Kansas, Derek's alma mater. So there you go. So you get it. There's a lot of history to this.
So how does money tie into the NCAA tournament?
Well, I love it.
Rhetorical.
So, right? There are so many things we could talk about. We could talk about NIL.
I do want to talk about NIL.
Yeah, well, and we should. We can talk a little bit about Polymarket, which is basically the betting marketplace. One of the things that I thought would be fun to unpack for our listeners is this concept of how the odds get made in these environments. You know, not because we're trying to become bookies or anything, but just because to me it was fascinating to see Polymarket's gone way beyond sports, but sports are something we're all really used to.
Right.
You know, we're familiar with this idea of how do you handicap and whatnot. So I think that'd be fun. But yeah, the NIL thing, because I don't know about you, while I understand why it had to happen, there are parts of the system that don't resemble parts that I used to really treasure right now.
So this is money paid to college players for name, image, and licensing, and that's NIL. And the idea was, back in the day, it was prohibited. You couldn't pay players. And in fact, Kansas spent some time on probation for that sort of thing, and that's why they didn't go to the tournament in 1989, not that I'm carrying a grudge. But now it's totally legal. After there were some lawsuits and change in rules, schools can actually pay players. At the same time, the transfer portal opened up.
This one, by the way, does confuse me a little bit about when it's open and when it's not, and what the rules are and when you can transfer or not, or if you can transfer and play immediately, or if you have to transfer and redshirt. There's some nuance to this that I haven't really done my homework on, and I just have to kind of throw that out there for our listeners that I am not an expert on the transfer portal element here. But I am fairly aware of is this name, image, likeness stuff has created a financial arms race for a lot of teams. And it's becoming apparent to me that the schools that have the deepest pockets are buying teams. And it's, so the question is, does it turn the college sports world into sort of like the New York Yankees?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I use Yankees as the example because historically, baseball without a salary cap, the Yankees would just pay as much as they needed to pay to get the talent, and then they'd win. And that actually worked out just fine for the franchise, right? They weren't losing money by paying all this to their top players, and they were winning. So I could see the basic formula at play here that if you're a big school that's got the capacity to do it, why wouldn't you?
Now, a jaded viewer might say, yeah, but now just everybody can pay them. It used to be some people paid them under the table. I'm not thinking of UCLA here.
Right. Well, let's unpack this further, but I'm looking at the clock and I realize we're a little long. Let's grab a break. When we come back, so first of all, the NIL stuff, Derek and I have had lots of talks about this actually. And so, but maybe we have the conversation, where might the league be going with it? But also, you know, how does this affect betting? Does it affect betting? Do we care? Right? Stick around.
Fun.
We'll be right back. I'm Dave Littlejohn.
I'm rabid Kansas fan Derek Simmons.
And you're listening to True Wealth, a News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Hey, gang, welcome back to the True Wealth Show. Dave Littlejohn in studio with
Derek Simmons.
Okay, we are talking all kinds of sports stuff today because of St. James Day. Remember that you should go check this out. Go to stjamesday.com. You're going to learn about this, and then we're encouraging you to tell everyone.
It's going to be one day, it's going to be a bright line test of electability for public officials as to whether they have recognized and voted in favor of St. James Day.
Yes, yeah. What do you think is the chance that we can get it formally declared as a holiday for the United States?
Oh, it's by the United States.
Yeah, like can we, you know, like the Secretary's Day and stuff like that. When can we officially get?
It's a matter of time.
Okay. Well, you know, that's kind of a Warren Buffett way to do it too. It's like, well, if you're going to name a thing, don't name a time. If you're going to name a time, don't name the price. You know, it's like, great. So it's a matter of time. It's like, well, how much time? You know, a matter of time. Like, brilliant. We're starting it here, guys. We're starting a movement. True Wealth Show started a movement.
25 years it's been around.
Yes, it's time for it to stop being a secret. You all know. Come on, don't tell me you don't have like a Facebook account. The listeners on this show, I mean, we're Facebook.
And there is
people.
A St. James Day web presence as well.
There we go. See, so web, I just want you to go
Facebook,
up there.
Yeah.
Here's kind of a thing. Here, let's do a fun experiment. I want you to go, go post this. And then, I don't know the equivalent of like tag, but to tag Little John Financial, we have our Facebook page. And so if you go post us and you tag us, then we'll know. All right. And maybe we figure out the person that will do a drawing or something for a peach pie, something novel that we can get away with if we can get a bunch of people posting. So we'll let us know because we'll see it and then it'll be a fun game. All right.
We were talking about name, image, and likeness.
Yes.
And how this has affected the sports landscape. So one of the interesting things about that is now schools can go out and boosters and pay people to go to their school.
Mm-hmm.
And so you find high school athletes going, well, which school am I going to get the most money from?
Mm-hmm.
That's not the hard part. The hard part is a lot of people have just finished their freshman year going, now which school can I get the much money?
Hence the transfer portal thing, right?
And the fact that those two go together does not work very well.
It does not.
I had the opportunity to hear Bill Self, who coaches Kansas, and John Calipari, who now coaches at Arkansas. They were discussing this. And Calipari went on this big rant. He's like, you've got to be able to have contracts where the players agree to stay for a couple of years. Because otherwise, they're getting paid. they get cranky and they're going to leave at the end of the year and maybe not play as hard as they could. They have no reason to remain invested.
Mm-hmm.
And so now that contracts are becoming a thing, but if you're a player and you have a choice between two schools, one that requires you to stay for 2 years, one that requires you to stay only for 1 year, and they're paying the same amount, and you think you're going to get better, you're probably going to go with the one-year school. So the market is going to have to bring people along in that.
Yeah. Well, here's the interesting thing about it. As somebody that largely believes in capitalism, and when I say terms like largely, I realize that it'll frost some people because they're like, oh, I'm a purist. I want all capitalism. Like, no, you don't. Like, you don't, right? Because the natural progression of capitalism is to monopolies. Like, that's where it goes if you don't have it restrained by some rules. That's just where it will go.
It's efficient and beautiful and crushes everyone.
Well, that's the thing, is that capitalism wants to evolve to monopolies, which ceases to be capitalism. So it's funny because it's the system that probably best represents human nature, but it requires certain conditions to persist. One of which is there needs to be price discovery and there needs to be competition. And in many cases, when things get super gigantic, it becomes impossible to compete with them. So you lose the very thing that you want because the thing that's working so well eats everything in the pond. That's why I use these qualifying terms. But nevertheless, I'm a fan of the idea that the markets can work this out. The issue is, can they work it out before they do enough harm that the institution itself is unrecognizable? Because if you end up with 16 schools that have everything, then what you have is basically a de facto pro team just using younger athletes.
Yeah, and if they move around all the time, there's not that sense of loyalty that I came with from growing up with a team, well, my young adult years with a team that was really good, and all the players stayed year after year.
Right.
Didn't identify with multiple schools. It built a brand.
And it's funny because were I a college administrator at like a chancellor level for a system, this would really concern me, because the idea that you have revenue sports attached to your institution that are becoming so big that they financially wag the dog, but they are also destabilizing to loyalty to the institution, that then you're trying to balance the idea of, well, how do I attract my students, but also how do I keep people invested in my school? We have a number of issues here because there's already a funding challenge, right? Schools are getting progressively more expensive, and we're trying to figure out how do we control the cost of education. Meanwhile, there's an arms race for money on the other side
of it.
Like, there's some internal conflicts to manage here about, hey, we're supposed to be about students, but what we really are is this farm league for pro sports. So how do we reconcile that exactly? And yeah, we would need multiple shows to unpack that. Or we would need to have like a separate podcast version where we get 2 or 3 hours to just go uninterrupted,
right,
and that kind of stuff.
But we need to talk about the prediction market and how it affects sports.
Yeah. Well, does it? So first, let me ask you this, because I like the way you phrase that. Does it affect sports?
Well,
like, does it? How? Because you said how. So first, does it is kind of a yes or no question. But what do you think?
I don't know that there's a cause effect on sports at this point. It does drag more people in. Betting is a very, very effective way to get people to watch
sports.
Well,
here's kind of the conspiracy theory. I mean, there is a conspiracy theory that for the really big games, that Las Vegas, having historically been huge betting pools, has some influence over the quality of officiating. Whether or not that's real, I mean, my suspicion is it's less real than people want to believe that it is. But it's not. I mean, there's enough big money in these industries now that it's not outside of possible that big money influences components to the game.
I wouldn't expect it to affect officiating as much, because these are people being filmed from 37 different angles and going to be criticized if they make any wacky calls. They're not the people I worry about. It's the guy with the jump shot where he pulls it a little bit left and you can't tell. You know, it's the players is where my concern is.
Oh, yeah.
And so they've got pretty strong.
Yeah, actually, and that's
controls on
it's equally relevant to suggest that you know, these are big money players with big money riding on them. There could be a lot of pressure from interested parties, and it, you know, it may not be as obvious as you think. You know, it's the old mafia style of like, hey, you know, we know where your parents live and you need to maybe not play so well today. And it's like, oh, yikes.
And maybe it's not intentional. You're just worried about the threat to your parents. You never can tell.
Yeah. And I really hope that it's not like that. But I'm not naive to the fact that I think I've said this publicly before. The NCAA is arguably one of the largest, you know, money laundering is a criminal thing. I'm not going to call it that, but it's because of its nonprofit status. It is a massive financial engine that is controlling huge economic forces.
But that's
in
one
this
of the
country.
Interesting things. It no longer has the economic impact that it did. You know, in the 80s, the NCAA could slam you down and keep you from going to the tournament, 1989 again.
Mm-hmm.
But these days, they really can't. They don't have the power that they did back then. But I want to come back and talk about the poly markets.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
So here's how I discovered this. Was I had this Robinhood account, and I'm looking at crypto, and I'm looking at stocks and all sorts of good stuff. And it says prediction markets. And I'm like, what the heck is a prediction market? So I click on it. And sure enough, the top two, three things are basketball games. And so then
how
I click on...
How would the algorithm possibly know that you'd
figure.
Be interested in basketball?
But I click on one of those, and it is not a traditional line. You know, usually if you're in Vegas, you've got a bet, and mm-hmm. you have a line. This is something different.
Okay. I want to know more about what you're talking about. I'm looking at the clock. Let's do this. Grab our last break. Let's get it out of the way. That'll give the maximum block of time where... Because this is really... I've watched him do some of this. So I want to know. The line. When we come back, we're going to figure out what this means. I'm Dave Littlejohn.
And Derek Simmons.
And you got True Wealth on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All right, gang, welcome back to the home stretch of the True Wealth Radio Show, where I am joined in studio today by...
Derek Simmons, rabid Kansas fan.
Right, and the best part is you can put the comma on either side of that. Rabid, it could be rabid Kansas fan Derek Simmons or Derek Simmons, comma, rabid
I'm easy to get along
Kansas
with.
Fan. Yeah, it works both ways. So... Hey, you're talking about, today we're talking sports. We started with St. James Day. Remember, post it on your social. Go ahead and tag Little John in the social, and you know we'll try to track it down. Now we're like figuring out who gets a peach pie. If you don't know what that's all about, you got to listen to the rest of the show and figure it out. So go check out the podcast. But you were talking about poly market.
And betting.
Yeah. Well, betting, the sports, big deal.
Yeah.
Also, how does this sort of connect to money? We're not really advocating for gambling. That's not what's going on here. But big money in sports, and then poly market comes along, and you can bet on all kinds of stuff, but sports was the first one. And you're telling me about your experience with the line. What
right.
are you talking about?
So the line historically is, you would say, well, Kansas is favored by 6 or an underdog by 6, and you can choose to take that Kansas will do better than the line. The line is set artificially by Vegas, whoever the odds makers are, this is what they think is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is different than what happens in the poly markets, what you see on Robinhood, where you go in and you buy a contract. So there's usually like a dollar or one in a contract.
Yes.
And so if Kansas is favored, it might cost me 75 cents to buy a dollar contract. And then so I pay 75 cents per contract. And if I win, I get a dollar back.
Mm-hmm.
On the other side, the other team is an underdog. So they pay 26 cents for a dollar contract. And of course, the more people that bet on Kansas, the more that line moves because people are making a bid and then buying.
Right.
So over time, how much your contract is worth or you're paying for it changes. So you could buy early in the game and then fall behind and sell it. Or buy more and then come back and it would have been cheaper and you make more money. It's just fascinating.
It is. So Here's the thing that, as I'm reading about this, these are the kind of underlying is this concept of a binary option. It's a zero or a one, right? You either win a dollar or you win zero.
Right.
But you didn't pay a dollar or zero for it. You paid whatever you paid at the time. And the way that it's sort of matched up is the probability is, in essence, that adding the two halves together. So if in your Kansas example and they're playing, you know, evil team B, right, then team B maybe has 30% chance of winning and Kansas has 70% chance, then that's the 30 cents plus the 70 cents. That's the dollar value.
Right.
And essentially, two people put, you know, their money in and there was a dollar worth of value.
Right.
And then one person gets the dollar and one person doesn't.
Right.
That's kind of how that halves out. And if more participants show up, this is the interesting thing to me. It's not actually the probability. It's not predictive in like, oh, well, now Kansas has a 70% chance of winning. What it says is 70% of people think Kansas is going to win.
Right. And it's fun to see it change over time. I'm sure you've all seen these graphs on Facebook or whatever where the likelihood of winning is really, really low. And then right at the end, there's a flurry and things happen and then they end up winning. And it's just this, you can't see it on the radio, but it's a curve that is just really phenomenal as to what happened to the value of that contract when a team makes a furious comeback.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's because you're really watching it in real time. This, by the way, what's interesting about something like a sporting event is it has a specific time that it's going to end. Like there's a point at which we know the game is over and the contract is resolved. There are similar versions of this that happen in the investment landscape around stocks and bonds, mostly stocks, but there are options around these that are this idea of the price is going to move one direction or another. And you are doing something similar, which is you're betting on a future price. And you're positioning yourself so that you can either buy or sell based on a future price. That, incidentally, is exactly what hedging is about. The thing that we didn't talk about in the poly market is somewhere somebody made a little bit of money just for providing the market itself.
Yeah, well, that's what I was saying. It adds up to $1.01. It doesn't add up to a dollar.
Right.
Because somebody gets their vigorish on this bet. And it's going to be whoever's hosting the poly market.
Yeah. So you used Robinhood as an example. That is an online discount broker that you can buy investments through, but you can also get in access to these poly markets. So Robinhood's making about a penny per contract. And that's their, you know, what do you call that? I mean, their management.
I still call it vigorish. That's exactly what they call it when you bet in Vegas. There's some, they're going to keep a percentage.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you win or lose, they're going to keep a percentage.
Well, there you go. And so it's important to understand that because in the stock market, there are market makers. It's very interesting. If you're buying a position, oftentimes the exchange is happening between a third party so you might be buying and somebody else is selling, but it could be that you're buying and nobody else is selling yet. Well, there's a market maker that has a pool of this available position that you want. And so they're going to trade out of their own inventory. And they're going to do that to facilitate transfers rapidly and to make a market work more efficiently. The market maker has to manage their risk exposure. And so they are constantly hedging to make sure that the amount that they have in their own inventory is not a liability to them if the market is going against them. So I think the tie-in between the poly markets and the sports and everything else is this idea that there's underlying plumbing that's being provided for everybody to access these things. And the folks that provided the plumbing do have their ways of making a little bit of profit as they
every
go through.
Time.
And
every
it's,
time.
It's fascinating. One of the reasons this came up for me is a conversation I had recently with a client who was discussing the concept of trading. And I described trading as trying to profit off of the mechanics of the market itself more often than not, right? The number of people that happen to be trading at any point in time and how that sort of moves things around. It's like that line that you described at the end of the day or at the end of the game as a furious rally changes the dynamic.
Right.
That happens in the markets all the time. And so traders are trying to position to take advantage of that. Investors aren't looking at it that way. Investors are looking at it more like, is Kansas going to have a good season?
Right.
Rather than are they going to have a good game? And I think that is relevant too, that everything that we're talking about here reminds us you got to know which game you're playing. And so are you an investor? Are you a trader? Are you a gambler? Right? Because ultimately, poly markets in essence are gambling. Because again, the odds are not predictive. It's just telling you how much you're going to get paid if you're right.
Right.
So, although the closer you get to expiration on these things, the more predictive they become.
True.
Right. And also, the more participants in it seems to be that they're a little bit better at predicting when you have broad sampling. But again, they're not predictive. So, when you go see if you can bet on anything in poly markets. So, you bet on the future value of Bitcoin. You can bet on, geopolitical events, all kinds of stuff. But it's fascinating that's not.
But
the
I
odds.
Don't recommend betting on Kansas, because if you bet on them and you lose, then you're disappointed twice, and if you bet against them, then you forfeit a little bit of your soul. You can't do that.
Yeah.
So it's really hard.
Well, as an investment professional, I don't really recommend gambling. Period. So there is that. Anyway, look, as we get to the last few minutes here, I like to do this. We're going to wrap up. Derek, you are, of course, local attorney, help small businesses get entities set up, contracts, estate planning, and so forth. How can people reach you?
541-677-7185 is Simmons Law.
Okay. And of course, if you guys want to talk more investment shop, you can welcome to reach out to us, 541-375-0898. But we're out of time. So thanks for tuning in. Until next time.